of Matthew chapter 23 this morning. Matthew chapter 23. Now, last week we started to examine what Jesus was saying to the crowd at the temple in regards to what it means to be a believer instead of acting like a believer. And I say act because that is exactly what Jesus was accusing the Pharisees of doing. He called them hypocrites, which in Greek is a reference to actors who are just playing a part. So Jesus was saying that all that they were doing was play acting. They were putting on a front for all of those to see and hear. And that will be the basis for each passage that we are going to look at today. The Pharisees are acting, and Jesus calls them out on their hypocrisy and shows what's really important. So what can we learn along the way? Well, let's jump right in and begin to figure it out. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 23. "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees? Hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, and you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel." So the Pharisees were acting again. And this time their act regarded their tithes, what God calls us to give back to him. But Jesus uses the how that the Pharisees were tithing to illustrate that something was wrong. If a plant in their herb garden, little leafy plant, not big tomatoes or ears of corn, but a tiny little plant a lot like this one right here. Because if we're going to talk about something, let's look at what they're talking about. This is one of their herbs. This is one of their plants. And what the Pharisees would do is they would start with one of those stems, pick one on there, one that you would start at, and they'd start counting the leaves. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yank it off. This is going in the tithe pile. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tithe pile again. And that was what they were doing to try to show the world that they were really pious and holy, because they would take that tiny little plant and those tiny little leaves, and they would make sure that they would even tithe off of those plants. Knowing the Pharisees, though, they would probably pull off the smaller leaves instead of the bigger ones, but that's not what Jesus was getting after them about. You see, Jesus told them that all that way they were doing was for show, that they would tithe of their herbs, but they wouldn't go out of their way to help someone that they viewed as under them. Remember, they thought that they were better than everyone else. They were better than you. Oh, most definitely they were. And they loved to hold that over people. And that's why Jesus told them that you ignore the more important aspects of the law. You see, they spent so much time focusing in on the small things that they were missing some really big things. They spent so much time picking small details that they refused to look at the people that those things were supposed to represent. They spent all that time messing with the plant and wouldn't mess with people. And they began to neglect a few things. They weren't handling the big things like justice, which we will define as acting in a right way toward other people. Remember, Pharisees thought that they were up here, and that everyone else was down here. So why should someone up here have to mess with someone down here that's beneath them? It's beneath their calling and their social class and whatever else they wanted to think of. We're up here and they're down here. We just tell them the way to go, and then they have to try to get up and attain our level. We don't come down to where they are and pull them up. Oh no, that wouldn't be right for us. So they didn't act in a right way towards other people. They would ignore them. And Jesus calls it one of their flaws. Jesus also said that they ignored mercy, which we will state as showing God's love to those that are around us. Now remember, mercy, after all, is not getting what we deserve. And let's be thankful for mercy, because all of us deserve hell because of our sins. All of us deserve hell because of the things that we have done during this life that have broken God's law and his commandments. And what we get is mercy. We don't get punished for what we should be punished for. And on top of that, we get grace, which is getting something that we do not deserve or could ever earn. And that's our opportunity to go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. We get mercy and grace. And as Christians, people who are to be like Christ, we should be sharing that same type of love. Not just loving the people who love us, mind you. You know, our family. Well, some of the family, right? No, I'm just kidding. Our family, our friends. But Jesus takes it a step past that. Remember, he says to love your enemies and pray for them. What? Yes, show them mercy and grace. Just because they're your enemy, you're not up here and they're not down here. Justice requires for you to treat them in the same way that God is treating you and help them. And we can do all of that when we act and respond in something we call faith. And for us, it's believing everything that God has told us. More specifically, by saying believe, it means to believe so much that we actually are living out everything that he's told us to do. You see, we don't just believe part of God's word, we believe all of it. And if we believe all of it, it means we're going to live out what his word says. But the Pharisees didn't do God's word, they only did aspect of God's word. And please understand that because they did aspects of God's word and not the whole thing, that they were being called out on it. Now, some people also will take this verse and they'll actually use it to start believing something that's very wrong. That because Jesus is saying this, that people think that they don't have to tithe what God has blessed them. But to do that, you ignore what Jesus says right after it. He specifically says, you should tithe. I mean, how is that for vague, right? Look at all that gray area in the statement he just gave. And since we talked about this 2 weeks ago, let's just hit the highlights, right? Tithing is giving back to God the first 10% of everything we make. And remember, God asks for the first fruits of what we make, not what's left over. And there's something else that we need to remember. God considers the tithe holy and his. He views it as his. It's not that we get to give it back, as he expects us to give it back. And if our hearts really trust him, then we give back out of joyfully, knowing that he's going to be there for us and bless us with everything we have left. And that's why we also say that tithing is a matter of faith. That's right, faith that God will provide all of our needs if we put him first. And so that is what they were doing. They were not looking at the bigger picture. They were looking on the small little plants and missing everything else. And that's why Jesus gives us another image and another warning. He tells them, don't swallow a camel. Now, we are blessed enough to have filtered water. And I don't think I'm the only one that is very thankful for that fact, that we are blessed to have filtered water. But even if you don't think your water is filtered enough, you can buy bottled water. And even if you don't want to buy bottled water, you can still use your own tap and get the zero water and remove all kinds of things that are in your water. And thankfully, our water is a lot cleaner than what it used to be, right? But just so that we're on the same page, the Pharisees were trying to strain out gnats, and Jesus warned them that in the process that they were going to swallow this guy right here. And just so we're all on the same page, that's camel. And I've had the privilege of getting pretty close to one. And let's just say, I'm not a small man, and I looked kind of small up next to one. Kind of did good for my self-esteem, right? You stand next to something that big and you feel real good about yourself for a while. And Jesus is saying that if you work on trying to do just these little things, you'll miss out on something. And Jesus is saying they're trying to strain out gnats, but they'll swallow a camel. Now, for all of you who said Jesus didn't have a sense of humor, look again at that camel with me, please. And realize that, yes, he did. But what he was also doing was quoting a well-known proverb of the day. You see, this was one of those common phrases that was heard in the marketplace. And it had a reference that if someone was trying to swallow a camel, someone was in trouble with the little things but pays no attention to greater matters. And if we're honest for a second, we can get that way too. We can get so focused in on something, if we're not careful, we don't notice what's going on around us. We can get so zoned in on one thing that we've been thinking about or hoping for or looking at that we lose track of what's going on around us. And that's why Jesus was telling them that not to focus on something so big that you miss something, or something so small that you miss something really big. Because we can get very self-centered and look at what's just going on and happening with us. And the Pharisees were unable to see the bigger picture of what was going on and happen. Yet Jesus was trying to tell them to look beyond themselves. To stop looking at this little matter here, that you avoid seeing what was going on around you. That God was bringing around people to you so that you could see and know that it was your job and responsibility to love them like He's loved them. But Jesus wasn't done yet. Look at what He says in verse 25. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? Hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. So here's something very interesting. When was the last time that you had a spiritual conversation about how you washed your dishes? I am so holy, I use Dawn. I got you beat. I have a dishwasher and I use Cascade. Well, I'm even holier than you because I have the packets. I don't even use the detergent. How's that? We don't do that. But the Pharisees did. And the Pharisees were using this to talk about something that they thought that they were very good by how they did it. You see, Jesus tells them that their problem was in their thinking because when it came to a cup, they only washed the outside of it. Think of that for a second. Just the outside. Now, they had cups. Of course, they didn't have big machinery and production plants, but they had some pretty nice cups for the time. Archaeologists have discovered what their cups were from the time of Jesus. I have a picture of one of them here, so just that we could see it. They were made out of stone. And they found two different types, one that has the one handle and one that has two. And since it really looks like a coffee cup, right? Maybe they relied on their morning coffee too, I don't know. But they were stone cups. Not our stoneware, actual stone cups. And that's why some of the cups actually had two handles, because some of those stones were kind of heavy and you needed a little help on getting that up there so that you could take a drink. But yet, this is what their cups looked like. And you better believe that the Pharisees had cups too, but these were common cups. These are what the common Jews would have. The Pharisees might have had a little bit more elaborate cups than that. Maybe they looked more special or different from the outside. But regardless of what cups they had, the Pharisees had a cup cleaning ritual. You see, they had a precise amount of times that they wiped down the outside of the cup. It was very specific on where they started and where they would wipe down to and then where they would go next. And if you were really thirsty, you better be careful because you probably had 5 minutes that you had to wait before you could take that drink with all the crazy things that you had to do to clean the outside of the cup. But here's the thing that I think is really gross. They didn't clean the inside of the cup. Think about that for a minute. They didn't clean what was inside of it. They just washed the outside of it and thought that as long as they're touching the outside of it and it was clean, that whatever they were taking, it would be fine. But we know a little something else that they don't know. We know a little bit more about germs, right? And there's probably some really disgusting things that were in that cup. And it's no wonder that they died early. It wasn't because of what they touched. It was what they were drinking from their cups. Because if they didn't clean the inside of it, well, you can get some pretty good thoughts of what it looked like, right? And that's why Jesus gives us a very good description, a picture of what their insides look like. And He said, you are filthy. And that they're filthy because they were full of greed and self-indulgence. You see, they didn't care what they put in their cup. As long as the cup was clean on the outside, what they touched. And as long as the outside looked good, then it didn't matter to them. They would fill their cup with whatever they wanted, whatever they wanted to drink. Well, it didn't matter to them. And they would put inside of themselves all kinds of wrong and horrible and selfish and greedy and sinful things. Because they thought that they were okay as long as the outside was good. As long as the outside of the cup looked right. But we know that it's not what we show the world what matters. We know the outside can be spotless, but putting something really vile on the inside of us really does make us filthy, spiritually. And if we're putting wrong stuff in, we're actually doing harm to ourselves. Because what matters most is our hearts. Where we're going to spend eternity, not apparent, what appearance we keep up. Remember, only actors worry about their appearance, but people who want to please God worry about what's inside, not what's outside. And that's why Jesus shares with them what he does next in verse 27. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. And here in this verse, Jesus is calling the Pharisees something that's kind of hard for us to understand. Whitewashed tombs. Now, we think we get a good picture of that, right? Because, I mean, after all, even our church here, we're right in front of a cemetery. And so we know what a cemetery looks like. The people are buried in the ground. On top of the ground are some stone markers. So maybe that's what Jesus was talking about, right? But it isn't. Let me show you what a good Jewish cemetery looks like. It's not what ours looks like. This is what theirs look like. If you would go to Jerusalem today and walk around, and you'd want to go to one of their cemeteries, this is what you would find. And I want you to understand that this is a common man's graveyard. The rich could afford bigger things. They could afford to cut holes in rock and make theirs elaborate and more special. But if you were just a normal person, that's what yours looked like. And remember, I said this was a common man's graveyard. You want to know what the Pharisees looked like? This. Big tombs. And notice how gleaming white they are. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a whitewashed tomb. Big difference between the two, isn't there? And again, this was the Pharisees' way of saying, look at us! Look at how grand we are. You have these nice little tombs with little rocks covering them. And we have these big tombs with big rocks. And our tombs are white and clean and pristine and beautiful. We're better than you. But Jesus points out the obvious for us. That it doesn't matter how nice the outside looks. On the inside, it's all the same. Both tombs are full of dead man's bones. There's no life in there in any way, shape, or form. And this is the picture that reflects who they are. Outside, they looked great. But inside, where it counted, they were spiritually dead. And that's why I have to ask this morning, what's inside of us? Could we be whitewashed tombs? Outside, we look great. I mean, because after all, just looking out at you guys today, you guys look good. But that's just our outsides. But do we think we're better than other people? Are we like Pharisees who've had cups that we've been filling with evil, filthy, or wrong stuff that we're consuming? And because of that, are we dead inside? My youth pastor always used to tell us that if you put garbage into your lives, you'd get nothing but garbage out. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Because my 16-year-old mind had a hard time grasping and understanding what my adult mind can think of on that. That when we put wrong stuff in, like the Pharisees were doing, that what we will get out is wrong stuff. You see, the Bible actually talks about it in a different way. Instead of garbage in, garbage out, the Bible says we will reap what we sow. How's that? that if we continue to put wrong stuff in our lives, if we continue to put immoral things in our lives, that what we're going to get out is not something that's going to lead to a good spiritual harvest, but is actually something that's going to be like the Pharisees, deserving of judgment. You see, we can't fill our eyes and our hearts with evil and think that we're going to be okay. We can't continue to live in wrong ways and think that God is going to let us into heaven. Which is why I have to ask today, do we have impurity in our hearts? Impurity is simply things that are not pure, right, or godly. You know, movies with nudity and 150 swear words, that it's all right, we can watch that. Doesn't affect us. Or what we saw here yesterday with Teen Challenge. That, oh, I can just cover the hurt and pain with a little bit of alcohol or drugs or this or that, and it'll be all right. It won't affect me. Look at all the men yesterday that it affected, to trying to hide so that we don't get his peace. We'll try to get peace our own way. And we can go on and on. But all of us have to ask the question, what are we putting into our hearts? Because what we put into our hearts actually affects our lives. In high school, I had a friend who had one of those old GM diesel cars. Yes, it's showing my age a little bit, but that's all right. He had an old GM diesel car. And one day, he pulled into the gas station and forgot he was driving his old diesel car and pulled up to the unleaded pump and filled it up. And some of you who are shaking your heads, you already know what happened. He went to pull out of the gas station, and about a few feet after that, his car stopped running, and he started running from his father. It was one of those things that just happened instantaneously. All right, well, it didn't happen quite that fast, but he did get in trouble for it. Because he put into his car, he put into his engine, something that made it not run. It looked like the right thing. It was liquid. It was at a gas station. But when he put it into the tank, it affected his car and it made it stop running. And spiritually, when we only take care of the outside of the cup and we start putting in wrong or evil things, it's going to affect our hearts, the engine spiritually inside of us. And we can think we're going to be okay. It's all right. Look, I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, our engine will stop working. And that's why I ask today to look at your heart. Again, not what the church sees. Because just like the Pharisees, we can play a role when it comes to that. We can look right. We can say all the right things. But when we talk about our hearts to get a better picture, we have to look at how we live when we're not at church. Because that will give us a better view of what our purity really is. That will give us a better view of what we're putting in our hearts and our lives. That will give us a better example to really for us to judge what our hearts look like inside. And to show us something more, Jesus gives us verse 29. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees? Hypocrites, for you build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed, and you decorate the monuments of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. And then you say, if we would have lived in the days of our ancestors, we would have never joined them in killing the prophets. But in saying that you testify against yourself, that you are indeed the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead and finish what your ancestors started, snakes, sons of vipers. How will you escape the judgment of hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers of religious law, but you will kill some by crucifixion and you will flog others with whips in your synagogues, chasing them from city to city. And as a result, you will be held responsible for the murder of all godly people of all time, from the murder of the righteous Abel to the murder of Zechariah, son of Belkiah, whom you killed in the temple between the sanctuary and the altar. And I tell you the truth, just judgment will fall on this very generation. You see, as we're looking at our hearts this morning, Jesus wants us to examine one more thing. The concept that for us, hate leads to death. Why does someone kill someone? Hate, of course. a hate that builds up inside of them. And the Pharisees' ancestors killed the prophets. They hated them for what they were saying. They hated them for calling them to change how they were living and what they were doing. And this current group of Pharisees weren't any different because they were already plotting how they were going to kill Jesus in just a few days. And in both cases, they actually killed the ones who brought the message from God. Not for any other reason, but because they hated what was being said. And they rationalized it out that it was an okay behavior to get that to happen. But that is what those old evil guys did who crucified Jesus, Pastor. When was the last time we killed someone, right? Well, for us in our generation, let's think of it this way. Do we kill any message that we do not like? Do we stop, edit, change any message that we don't want to hear? Now, you guys know I'm an old movie fan. In Ninotchka, Melvin Douglas, good movie. Ninotchka was a Russian from the Communist Republic, right? The USSR. And Melvin Douglas's character was trying to send a letter to Ninotchka in Russia. And you know what happened when she opened up the letter? Well, for those of you who've seen the movie, you knew, but for those of you who think I'm talking a different language right now, let me explain what happened when they opened up the letter. The Russian government blacked out everything in the letter. It had, "Hello, Ninotchka." Love Melvin Douglas's character. And everything else was blacked out and censored in between. Oh, but Pastor, that's a communist government. Oh, yeah? Have you seen what's happening in America today? And it's a bad thing that happens in any culture, society, when we begin to censor free speech. Governments can do that. Twitter might be doing that. But let's take the concept away from Twitter censoring someone and let's look a bit closer to home. Are there any messages that we ignore? Things that we know from God's word, but we don't want to hear it now. Things that we know, but I still want to put this in my cup for right now. This is what I want to have in there and this is what I want to take care of. So I'm going to ignore what you say about this because this is what I'm thirsty for right now. Do we ignore anything like that? Are there any messages that we refuse to listen to? Nah, I'm still going to choose to live the way. I know that this is what God says, but I'd rather do this, and I don't want to do that. Because if we know God's word, if we've heard it, read it, and we refuse to listen to it, it really shows something that's going on in our hearts and our lives. It shows that we hate him enough to kill his message. Not love him enough to do his message. And since these are some important things that we've been looking at this morning, I think we have some important questions that we need to ask today. Some important things that we need to ask before we leave. Because all the things that we've talked about today center around our hearts, what's going on inside of us, not what's going on outside of us. And it shows us that what's on the inside is what's really important and what counts. So first, are we ignoring the most important part of God's word? Are we not showing it? Because believe it or not, our hearts are going to show what's going on inside of it. Not only out of the abundance of the heart will the mouth speak, what we talked about last week, but out of the heart and our heart of love, it's going to change and affect how we affect the world and others around us. Will we be giving? Will we be loving? Will we even bless those who hurt us? Will we love those who persecute us? Are we going to do that and step out in faith and believe? To trust God to provide for us and live out his word in this world? To show others justice, treat them the way that we would want to be treated? To give them mercy? And to act in faith and trust him to help us with all of it? Or are we more concerned about our outside or our inside? Which one is most important for us? What we want, how we want it, what we want. Are we more concerned that everything looks good and then we can go do whatever we want when we leave the doors of the church? Which one are we more concerned about? Because if we're really desiring to change and grow inside, we have to work to overcome our old man and not let him get what he wants, not let him put his desires in our cup, but we put the old man and we nail him to the cross and we follow. but it's up to us to decide. And then this morning, are we refusing to listen to everything that Jesus says? Because if we pick and choose what parts of God's word we're going to follow, we're putting ourselves in a really dangerous spot. Because it shows something's not right in our hearts. The Pharisees were called actors because they were ignoring all of these things. And this morning, we've got to look at our hearts to make sure that they're in the right place, right where God wants us to be. You see, all three of these things are matters of the heart this morning, and we need to look and see how our hearts are doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now asking that you would be with us. Father, let your love and grace just wash over us here and now and help us to have an honest look at our hearts. Father, are we ignoring the things that your word declares as good? Are we more concerned about what we want? Are we more concerned about filling our insides with who you want us to be? Are we doing what you said, or are we refusing to listen? Are we accepting your message, or are we refusing it? Father, help us today to look in our hearts and see. Your word's clear. We can grasp it. We can understand it. Help us not to be so busy trying to accomplish just one part of your word that we swallow something that's not right. Father, today, help us to look inside of our hearts and see. See if there's anything that needs to change. See if there's anything in there that's wrong. See if there's anything that we need to ask forgiveness for. And Father, may we trust in your mercy, your grace, and your love. And may you forgive us and cleanse us again. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.